إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. I want to remind myself and you today about the importance of focus. Focus is the art of ignoring. That's my definition of focus. Focus is the art of ignoring. And the reason I say that is because today we live in a world where everyone is under an information overload. We don't have too little information, we have too much information. And we have information of all kinds. And in all forms, in a written form, in terms of sound bites, in terms of visuals, and so on and so on. And therefore, the chances of getting distracted are enormous. You are almost certain to get distracted. But if you are like a captain of a ship which is caught in a storm, it's very important for you to be able to focus on the destination. And while being aware of what is happening around you, still be able to ignore it. If you are aiming a weapon to fire at a target, then the person who always hits the target, the bullseye of the target every time, is the one who is able to ignore everything else except that particular bullseye of the target. Anyone who knows how to shoot will tell you that it's extremely important. Completely ignore everything else except what you are focusing at. So focus is the art of ignoring. Now, why is focus important? Focus is important because focus is the differentiator between the winners and the rest. It's focus. Focus is what is the difference between ordinary light and laser. Ordinary light at best gives illumination, laser cuts through steel. There's no change in the actual material quality of the light. The laser light is not anything other than light, it's light. But it's light which is very highly focused. And as a result of the focus, the same light which normally would at the most illuminate, in this case, it can cut through steel. So focus is extremely important in life. If we want to achieve anything, we have to focus. Everybody's got the same 24 hours. But you find that there are some people who are hugely productive in those 24 hours. And other people who talk about being productive. There are two kinds of people in the world. Ones who achieve their goals and the others who talk about why they couldn't achieve it. Doesn't change reality. Reality doesn't change because you have some excuse. Excuses do not change reality. An excuse is an excuse. If you lost your wallet and you give a great excuse about why this was absolutely reasonable and how you were passing through this big crowd and which was full of pockets, big pockets and so on, that still will not bring your wallet back into your pocket just because you have a good excuse. Right? If you drive crazily and supposing you're walking on the street and somebody comes and hits you from the back and you break your leg. Now just because you say, well, you see, it was not my fault. It was the fault of that guy. That guy might go to jail, but it still won't heal your leg. I mean, your leg is still broken. So the reality is that if you have an excuse, no matter how reasonable that excuse might seem to be, it does not change facts. Facts are facts. If you lost something, if you lost time, you lost time, finished. End of story. Your life is now whatever number of years, and what you achieved or didn't achieve, it's not going to come back. So therefore, it is extremely important to be able to focus. It's extremely important to be able to ignore stuff and to know what to ignore. Now, how do you know what to ignore? You ignore everything that does not directly contribute to your life goal, which means that you must have a life goal. If you have no life goal, then, the one who does not have any destination, any direction is good enough. But if you have a destination, then any direction is not good enough. Only the direction of the destination is good enough. So therefore, it's very important, no matter what age we are, to have a life goal. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to leave behind as your legacy, meaning not because they will build a monument to you, but because that legacy is your Sadaqatul Jariyah. So therefore, what do you want to achieve? Very important to have that in focus. And then based on that, you learn what to ignore and what to pay attention to. One of the most important things to ignore is criticism. Please understand this. it is important to ignore criticism. So you might say, well, how do I improve myself? You improve yourself by listening to criticism from the right people, not from everybody in the world. The more public image you get, the more reach you have, the more critics you will collect. So what do you do with them? Somebody brought a letter to Gandhiji. It was a 2 or 3 page letter, which was highly critical of him, and you know, it was very abusive language and so on. So somebody brought him this letter. So Gandhiji read the whole letter. And this letter, those days, I mean, no emails and all that, so papers, you know, that letter was, 3 pages were clipped together with a paper clip. So Gandhiji removed the paper clip and put it in his pocket, and he took the three pages of letter, and he threw it in the garbage. So the man said, but aren't you going to reply? He said, whatever was valuable, I have taken. So, which is the paper clip. Very important not to get involved in responding to criticism from every quarter. Because people will criticize you because they don't like your face, they'll criticize you because they're jealous, they'll criticize you because they don't know you enough, they'll criticize you because they haven't even heard your full message. It happens many times. You say something with all the proofs and all the dalail, and somebody finds one word in it which he does not like, and he will take off on that particular word. How could you say such and such? Now, how you could say such and such, and how you should have said such and such, if you had listened to the whole thing, you would have known. But we don't bother with that. Now, the point is that if you start responding to all of that, it completely wastes your time. Because those opinions are not important. We don't even know who the person is. Who cares? You know, somebody has said, I don't like you, so don't like me. I always say there's only one person in the whole world who is required to like me, and she already likes me. She's been liking me for the last 28 years. So, alhamdulillah, no one else is required to like me, so I don't care. If you don't like me, don't like me. Right? So the point is that at the same time, it is important to listen to criticism from people you respect. Otherwise, you can't correct yourself. So your teachers, those close friends of yours who are genuinely interested in your welfare. If they tell you something, then you should wake up and you should, you know, prick up your ears and you should pay a lot of attention to that. Your parents and people like that who are... people who have knowledge, who are people who know you well, who are people who have a genuine interest, your interest in their heart. So if they tell you something critical, listen very carefully. For the rest of the world, still listen, because sometimes even if a person doesn't know you, even if a person is a stranger and so on, whatever they say, sometimes there might be some truth in it, Allah alam, right? So there's nothing wrong in listening to what they have to say, but never ever respond. Don't write a clarification or a justification or whatever. Total waste of time. Don't do any of that. Read or listen to what they have to say. If there is anything good in it, take it. Take the paper clip. Trash the rest. Doesn't matter. Because if it is not useful, what's the point in keeping it? And also, there's no sense in responding and retaliating, because that makes absolutely, it just involves you in more and more and more of time getting wasted in all of this retaliation. And I see sometimes people send me, they have all these debates, and they have, so-and-so is talking and somebody is saying something else, and so-and-so, he criticizes Islam, and you're back again. It absolutely achieves no purpose. I actually know of two instances where I have been, obviously I don't read the whole thing, but I know these mails between these two brothers and two other people they correspond with. I have been seeing those mails now for at least the last 10 years, and absolutely nothing has changed. So I told the man, I said, for the last 10 years you have been writing emails to this guy, and nothing has changed, except that he has the same arguments again and again. Why are you wasting your time for 10 years? Imagine the number of hours that have gone into writing these emails. Those hours could have been spent, even if you went to sleep in those hours, that was more useful for you than writing those emails. But people, if you at least you sleep, you are not committing any sin or something, it's good for your body or whatever. So go to sleep. If you have nothing to do, go to sleep. But the point is that if we don't do this, then we just get involved and time goes. And remember, the same 24 hours and none of it is coming back. So if you want to be productive, get a life goal, focus on that life goal, cut out all the trash, ignore everything that does not directly contribute to the life goal, and you go on. Believe me, people have given a fatwa of kufr on the likes of Mujaddid al-Fasani, Sayyid Ahmad Sirhindi rahmatullah alayh, on Shah Waliullah Dahalvi rahmatullah alayh, on Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, on Sheikh Sayyid Suleiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, on Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, on Sheikh Abdul bin Baad rahmatullah alayh. People have given fatwa of kufr on such great ulama of this deen. So if somebody calls you a kafir or calls you a kafir, who cares? No problem. Alhamdulillah. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the saying of Imam Ahmad said, if somebody calls me a kafir, then I know that he is a kafir because I know I am not a kafir. So it's like that. It's very simple. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if one Muslim calls another one a kafir, then one of them is actually a kafir in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The one who does not deserve that expletive, does not deserve that title, then obviously he is not. So if somebody calls you something, no need to react. No need to let them call. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of hasanat for you. You know, even when you are not doing anything for them, somebody is slandering you, you are slandering you there. Alhamdulillah, very good, let them slander. It doesn't matter, doesn't change the reality. If you are good, you are good. And if you are not good, if he is saying something which is worthwhile, then listen to that. But other than that, let him slander, it's good for you. Somebody came to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and said, so and so is slandering you. So Imam Shafi went to the market, he bought some fruits, and he went to the man and he gave it to him. He said, what is this? He said, no, you have been giving me a good deed, so I thought I should, you know, respond. So here is some fruit for you. So the thing is that people have slandered and people have pointed fingers at people who are much greater than you and I will ever be. So therefore, nothing to worry about. Alhamdulillah, let them slander. It's good. They are giving you the good deeds. I always say, you know, God bless the slanderer because he gives unasked, without asking. And so, if I ask you, for example, even you know, those of you who like me, if I tell you, will give me 10 of your good deeds, you will not give me. But the slanderer gives it to me for free. So he's actually better for me than my friends, because my friends will not give me their good deeds. They will say nice things to me, but they will not give their amal to me. But the slanderer is giving his amal for free. So, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm very happy that if there are any slanderers. So, let us, and again, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu a'lamu bi'adaikum wa kafa billahi waliyyum wa kafa billahi nasira. Allah said, Allah is aware of who your enemies are. Allah knows your enemies. And Allah is enough for you as a wakil. And He is enough for you as a helper, as a nasir, for His nusra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu asimuka minan nas. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you give balligh ma unzila ilayk, wa illam taf'al, fama balaghta risala, wallahu asimuka minan nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you convey what has been sent to you. If you don't do that, then you would not have fulfilled the responsibility of risala which has been given to you. And as far as people are concerned, Allah will protect you from the people. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing to worry about, inshallah. As long as we are doing something with ikhlas. And remember, ikhlas is only something that we know. No one else can point a finger at you and say, you have no ikhlas. He has no sense. If he's saying you have no ikhlas, he has no sense. Because he has no means of knowing whether you have ikhlas or not. And that is the reason why it's very important for us to be very careful about our ikhlas. Because we might think we have ikhlas, but we have to keep on continuously checking and continuously making tawbah to ensure that our ikhlas is always intact. That we are not doing things to show the world, to show the people for popularity. Popularity is like a fog. Popularity is like smoke. Popularity is like smoke. It clouds the vision and it shifts with every passing gust of wind. It's a waste of time. It's a total waste of time trying to get popularity with the people. The awamun nas is awamun nas. They're sheep. They have no sense. It doesn't matter whether they like you or they don't like you. So don't get involved in this business of trying to get popular. Think only of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes what you are doing, the whole world can curse you, makes no difference. If Allah does not like what you are doing, though, and we have examples of this, we've got all the pop stars and the rock stars and the film stars whose work obviously is haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that work, but they are popular. They are hugely, hugely popular. If one of them is more popular than somebody like me or you will ever be in 10 lifetimes. Right? The fellow is already, he is that popular. But what's the benefit of that? You know, that, how will that popularity benefit that person if he or she continues in that work, and if they die on if they die with those amal, may Allah protect them and us from that, how will that popularity benefit them? So do not worry about all that. Just focus on your goal. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, that's all that matters. And do remember, as far as somebody pronouncing kufr and so on, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the Jannah belongs to Allah. Jahannam also belongs to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not outsourced the decision making to somebody else. Please understand. Allah has not outsourced it to somebody else. You know, visa being given by so and so. So, go and apply. If you get visa from so and so, you get into Jannah. Everyone has got this thing of, you know, sending off people here and there without into places which you have no control over. They want to go into Jannah alone. May Allah protect us from that arrogance. We do not pronounce fatawa of kufr. We do not pronounce takfir on anybody for any reason. The Muslim does not pronounce takfir. You can say that such and such an action is kufr. You can say that such and such an action is shirk. But you cannot say that so and so is a mushrik. We cannot say that. We have no idea, we have no clue, we have no right to say that so and so is a mushrik. Unless somebody is actually committing open shirk in front of you, then you can say that this person is a mushrik. Even there, what I would say is that even there you say that his action is kufr. Even there, don't say he's a mushrik. Who are you anyway? I mean, why? Allah is not asking your permission before he puts somebody somewhere. So why do you want to say the action? Yes, because action we are seeing. That is, somebody is making a sajda to an idol. What do you call that action? It's a shirk action. But even there, do not say so-and-so is a mushrik. We don't know, right? We do not know. So let us not fall into that trap. It is not our job anyway to pronounce takfir on somebody or to say so-and-so the kafir. These are some of the problems of not only present times, it has been happening, you know, for centuries and for ages, and really doesn't change. You know, inshallah or Musta'an, Sayyid Ahmad Sirhindi, Mujaddid al-Fasani, rahmatullahi alayhi, who single-handedly stood against the fitna of Akbar, the Mughal emperor, and who single-handedly stood against that fitna, and because of his work, he maintained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintained the issue of Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Akbar was, and Abul Fazl, who was Akbar's compliant alim, they were changing that, and they said Akbar is a Nabi. Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi alayhi was the person who single-handedly stood against this fitna, against the might of the Mughal Empire, and he broke it. He broke their back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this Deen-e-Ilahi, this you know, fasid Deen that Akbar had created, died with Akbar, and they never because of one man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses who he wants and gives the power to who he wants. And somebody says, so Sayyid Ahmad Sirhindi rahmatullahi alayhi is a kafir. Who cares what somebody says? Who cares what somebody says? Let him say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is what. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him, Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi alayhi, the highest levels in Jannah, and to be pleased with him, inshallah. And we ask this for all the people who have worked sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no procrastination, don't push things back, don't leave things aside, ignore all trash, ignore everything that, you know, focus on the goal. What is your life goal? What will lead to that life goal? Leave out the rest. Doesn't matter. Leave out the rest. Focus on that. Final dalil of this from the seerah, which I always remember, is the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Taif. That dua has got so many lessons in it, but one of the lessons for me is the lesson of focus. What did he say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said, Ya Allah, if you are pleased with me, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. And if you are not pleased with me, then I will do everything that I can do to please you before I die. Now, what is that if not a statement of focus? He's not worried. People are throwing stones at him. People are cursing him. People are doing... no problem. Let them do. He's not standing there retaliating to them. He's not standing there fighting. He was a warrior. Just think about this. He was a warrior. Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu was a warrior. Why did they have to take people's, some street urchins throwing stones? Why did they have to let those stones hit them and hurt them? Why couldn't they fight back? Why didn't they turn around and, you know, pull out a sword or something? Yeah, don't get involved in trash. Do not get involved in trash. Focus on the goal. And the goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to that message and to enable us to focus on what is important and leave out the rest. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our ikhlas so that we work only and only for His pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and to be pleased with our work and to accept the work. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the steadfast path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, all our life until we die. As Shaykh Nasiruddin Albani rahmatullah alayhi, very beautiful statement, he said, the purpose is not to reach a destination, the purpose is to stay on the road. Yeah, beautiful statement. He said, the purpose is not to reach the destination, you will reach, Allah will take you. He said, our purpose in life is not to reach a destination, our purpose in life is to stay on the right path. Is to keep walking on the right path or Sirat al-Mustaqim. Purpose is not to go, you know, arrive somewhere. No, arrival is only when we die. The death is arrival. Inshallah, if we stay on the right path, then that arrival will be in the right place. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.